with you this morning. Before we get started, let me make just one announcement, and then we have our mission box. So 3 weeks from today will be our first Sunday being led in worship by our co-pastors, Catherine and Steve Price. And so you want to make sure you have Sunday, August 7th, marked on your calendar. And there's a couple of things that you can do between now and then to help make them feel welcome. And the first would be, and I see many of you are, so kudos to you, but wear your name tags. And if you don't have a name tag, please stop by our Welcome Center and fill out a form to request one so that as Catherine and Steve are getting to know all of us, these are going to be very, very helpful to them. So please get a name tag. And then also we had suggested the idea of putting together a gift certificate or gift card tree bearing all kinds of gift certificates and gift cards to our favorite local Gainesville establishment. Just to help get them out into the community and learn the places that we like to go. And so somebody handed me one this morning to my pocket, but if you want to provide one with a little note of welcome and maybe why you like Satchels so much, that would be great. And you can give those to June at our front desk or Shannon, who's the pastor's assistant on the second floor. But 3 weeks from today, Steve and Catherine arrive, and we're very excited for that. At this time, I'd like to invite up Candace King to share with us about this morning's mission box, which is Acorn.
Good morning. My name is Candace King, and I am honored to be the executive director of Acorn Clinic. I see familiar faces out in the audience. I have neighbors and folks from different parts of my life that I get to see when I come to visit you. We are 43 years old. Acorn Clinic is a medical, mental health, and dental clinic in the northern part of Alachua County. We're a rural health clinic, and we're 43 years old. So we've been doing what we do for a long time, and every year we manage to keep doing it, which is a testament to the support of our community like yourselves. We serve, on average, 3,000 patients every year. And that's about 10,000 patient visits. We're very busy. We're targeting low-income, particularly rural residents. And as you probably know, there's a large part of Alachua County that is rural. Manioka, High Springs, Alachua, Waldo. And most of our patients come from those areas in addition to some surrounding counties. Over the years, we've had relationships with community organizations and churches like you. In fact, we were founded by two churches 43 years ago. We, particularly with your congregation, not only have you shared your treasure with us, but your talent as well. We have the van from the church transports homeless patients from Gainesville to Acorn Clinic monthly for a dental clinic, and that's been going on for quite some time. So we've gotten some funding from the city and the county to help make that clinic happen over the years. We also have Dr. John Shahan, who's a member of your congregation, and his Sunday school group have supported a monthly free Spanish clinic at Acorn in partnership for the last about 7 years. So Dr. Shahan comes with a couple of volunteer PAs, and we supply the nurse, the space, and the translators to make that clinic happen. So thank you for that ongoing support. We are, this year in 2016, have begun a capital campaign. Last one we did was about 16 years ago, and that campaign is to refurbish our building, which is getting very frayed, as you can imagine, with 10,000 patient visits a year. And likewise, we also plan to expand our dental clinic. Affordable dental care is a huge gap in our community. And sadly, we're learning more and more about how neglecting your dental health is tied very much to your overall health and problems from that. So we appeal to you to continue to support us, and we hope especially that some of you can be very generous in donating to our capital campaign. So thank you for what your congregation does for our community and for what you do for Acorn Clinic.
So please give to this morning's mission box at any of the five mission box locations found at the back of the worship center as you leave. The wooden boxes that are there. I'd like to invite everyone's attention to the Connect card that's found inside your bulletin. If you're a member or a regular here in worship, we'd like to know that you were here this morning and stay connected, hence this name. If you're here for the first time today, welcome. We're glad that you've joined us to worship God today. And we'd like to know that you were here as well so that we can reach out and tell you a little bit more about our church and find out how we might be able to serve you. So everyone, please fill that out and pass it in when the time comes. We have a tradition here at Trinity, and we hope that everyone comes to feel this way about our church. But welcome home. Why are we here? Let us worship God together.
Would you please stand and join me in this call to worship? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Well, sing of
while we are standing, as an act of worship, let us affirm our faith together using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. We have the privilege now to unite our hearts and go to God together in prayer. And as we do, bring the names up on the screen. These are the folks that are in the hospital, in rehab, in hospice, or receiving specialized care that Lenora and our care team are providing visits and prayerful nurture and support to. And if you see that there's a name missing from this list, please let us know. You can let Lenora know after the service, or you can fill it out on your Connect card, call our receptionist who maintains the hospital visitation list. But please let us know so we can make sure that their name is added. And then also throughout the week, we have people who pray over a list of joys and concerns that you provide. And if there's something that you would like our prayer team to be praying over, you can fill that out on the Connect card. And if you'd like a copy of that prayer list, it's in the narthex. As we go to God in prayer, I just want to celebrate that our youth ministry are out on mission this week. Our high school team of 49 left yesterday for Tennessee to partner with ASP, Appalachia Service Project, to do some home repair mission there this week. So keep them in your prayers. And then tomorrow morning, our middle school mission will be driving to Alabama. There's 15 students and chaperones going to Alabama to partner with Radius Camps this week, and so keep our youth in prayer. And I know that many of you came through the doors this morning with things that might be weighing on your heart, and so I invite us now to just unite our hearts and go to God. God of relentless love and infinite grace, we pause here this morning. We gather in this sacred space, sacred hour to worship You. We pause to connect our hearts together with Yours in the spirit of prayer. We pray, God, that the worship we bring You this morning glorifies You and pleases You, and that by having worshiped You and been together in Your presence and in the presence of these Your people, that we would be built up, that we would be changed, that as we sing Your praise, we hear Your word read and proclaimed, as we gather together at the table, that these means of grace fill us and we leave different from how we came in. We pray, O God, for those whose names have been displayed here this morning that are in need of Your healing. Pour out Your healing grace upon them. Pour out Your comfort and Your strength and Your peace on those who are providing their care. We pray blessings and protection over our mission teams as they go about Your work this week. And we pray that as they go to be change that they want to see in the world, to be your hands and feet in Tennessee and Alabama, that in the process of changing lives, their lives and their hearts are changed by having done the work set before them. We continue to pray for Trinity and for our co-pastors, Catherine and Steve, as they prepare to come and lead us. We give you thanks, O God, for the ways that you've been at work in and through this transition already, and look forward with joyful anticipation to all that you have in store for us in 3 weeks of their arrival. And I'm keenly aware, O God, that the prayers that I have uttered here already this morning have focused on us, our church, and our needs. And as we look beyond the walls of Trinity, we see a world that is in deep need, a world that is hurting from unspeakable hatred and violence. It just never seems to stop. And in our distance, oh God, we can feel removed and feel helpless. So by your Spirit, we pray that you connect us with the people of Nice and the people of Turkey. And all we can do, God, is pray that we are changed, that peace begins with us. Let this be the moment. Now, with every step we take, let this be our solemn vow to take each moment and live in each moment in peace eternally. And so we pray, fervently pray, let there be peace on earth, and let it be. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. meets with grateful hearts when we give back to God. And ushers, would you please come and prepare to receive our offering? As members of Trinity United Methodist Church, we covenant with one another to give in proportion to what we are given to help fuel the ministries of this church. And so as we give back to God, let us pray together. Gracious God, you are the giver of every good thing in our lives, and we give back to you now with grateful hearts. We pray, Almighty God, that you take these gifts, these tithes, these offerings, and that you multiply them, that you have your will and your way with them for the good of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, we pray.
Stars of light, Lord of all, to thee we raise this hymn of grateful praise. Hallelujah, 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 praise thy holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, oh, oh, we praise thy name. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent and child, friends of earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild, O Lord of all, to thee we raise this hymn of grateful praise. For each perfect gift of thine, our race so freely given, grace is human and divine, flowers of earth and buds of heaven, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grace. Oh, praise, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. Hallelujah, 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 oh, hallowed be thy name.
That was beautiful. Every time I've gotten to hear it, it's been beautiful. It's just, wow, what a beautiful expression this morning. It is always my privilege to be able to share God's word with you this morning, but as our theme is a Methodist gives thanks, it feels like I should express that I am grateful for the opportunity this particular morning to be sharing God's word. It's hard for me to believe that it has actually already been 6 weeks since Dr. Dan's last worship service with us. And if you were here in the week that followed, you might remember that I preached a sermon from the first four books of Joshua about us having safe passage during this time of transition. And I echoed Joshua's call for us to make ourselves holy, for the Lord will do great things among you. But since I preached that sermon, much has happened in our world. And the idea of safe passage has taken on a whole new meaning for me. In the wake of the violence that has taken place day after day after day. This week, it was an attack in Nice. And there was unrest in Turkey. And as I pondered the depth of despair that seems to be flooding our earth, I recalled Martin Luther King Jr.'s claim that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And these words seem so much more prophetic than I could utter. And they seem to capture what's going on all around us. Making ourselves holy by getting back to the basics of our faith is essentially the premise of our current series, which is a Five Marks of a Methodist. It's a series based on Steve Harper's exploration of John Wesley's treatise on the character of a Methodist, in which Wesley outlined five distinguishing attributes that he believed captured the essential character of the peculiar people of his day that were being called Methodists. A Methodist loved God. A Methodist rejoices. A Methodist gives thanks. A Methodist prays constantly. A Methodist loves others. When we picked this particular series, Aaron and I had no idea of the horror that was going to break out in our state, in our nation, and in our world. And it seems as though now, maybe perhaps more than ever, we are being forced to examine what is a Christian response to hatred and to evil. The depth of our character as Methodists, as followers of Christ, is daily being tested and revealed in our response to the events and the rhetoric that seeks to shape the landscape of our lives. And so safe passage is no longer just a creative metaphor. It feels like something that is necessary for each and every one of us. Last week, as Aaron preached on a Methodist rejoices, he commented about the ways in which we lean into God's grace so that joy can flow into our lives and then back out again. And he said these words, "If searching Scripture, prayer, fasting, and receiving the Lord's Supper are the means by which we breathe God's grace, then neglecting the means, we aren't breathing like we should." Now, I'm going to admit that after coming back from my recent mission trip, I was on 10 flights in 11 days. And so as Aaron said those particular words, here's where my mind went. Ladies and gentlemen, we now request your full attention as the flight attendants demonstrate the safety features of this aircraft. In the event of a sudden change in cabin pressure, a mask will automatically drop in front of you. Please secure the mask to your nose and mouth, securing it by tightening the elastic bands on either side. The bag will not inflate. Oxygen is, however, flowing to the mask, so breathe normally. If you are traveling with a young child or someone who needs assistance, please make sure to affix your mask first before touching the other person. Please keep your mask on until a unified crew member has informed you to remove it. For further instructions, please see the manual on the screen in front of you. We know that when it comes to your travel needs, you have many choices. And so on behalf of our entire crew, I'd like to thank you for choosing Trinity United Methodist Air this morning. We look forward to serving you. And if you have any questions whatsoever, please don't hesitate to ask one of our uniformed crew members. Thank you for your attention and enjoy the flight. So that's where my mind went. But breath, breathing, is absolutely essential for us to function, let alone respond well and help others to respond well in the midst of sudden and dramatic changes in our environment. Right now, it seems as though we have entered into just such turbulent times, a time of dramatic change in pressure accompanied by increasing levels of toxicity in the air. As such, we who know how to affix our masks must do so because it is our connection to all that truly sustains us physically, spiritually, emotionally. We affirm all that we are in God when we affirm our masks and connect ourselves to God's grace so that the air that we are inhaling allows us to exhibit the characteristics we truly want to be exhaling. And so, please fasten your seatbelts and join me in prayer. Lord, we give you thanks for this opportunity to gather in your presence, to be renewed by your Spirit. And we humble ourselves before you, asking that you open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. Our focus verses for this particular week actually come from two of Paul's letters. One was to the church in Thessalonica, and the other was to a church in Corinth. And so the first verse comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It reads, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And our other passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 15 reads, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." I'm actually going to focus our attention on the 1 Thessalonians passage, and as such, I want to read it to you in context, because it's part of Paul's final instructions in his letter to the church as to how they're supposed to order their communal life together. So here's what he wrote in chapter 5, verses 16 through 22. "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil." My paraphrase is, rejoice, pray, give thanks always in every circumstance, because this is God's will for you in Christ. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophetic guidance. Test everything so that you can hold fast to the good and to release and abstain from all forms of evil. When I consider this particular passage, I join Steve Harper's sentiment about the text when he wrote, "Whoa, we just entered into the deep end of the pool." We certainly did. Not because these are just words that are easier said than done, but because these words must be analyzed and thoughtfully applied. Unfortunately, because of their grammatical complexity or otherwise, these are the words that have been misinterpreted in times past. They've been twisted out of context to make false proclamations about what God's will is for us. And they become the foundation of heresies that tell us we are supposed to give thanks for all things because all things are God's will for us. All, meaning both the good and the evil, come from God. And these things enter into our lives precisely. God's will for us. This heresy could not be further from biblical truth. It's not the thing in and of themselves that we are supposed to be giving thanks for, but it is that our rejoicing, our praying, our gratitude are intended to be focused on God in the midst of all things, independent of our circumstances. It might sound like I'm splitting hairs, but it really is critically important for us to understand what it is that Paul was telling us to give thanks for and why it's God's will that we do so. If you've ever heard these words twisted out of context, I'm going to pause here for a moment just to say something to you. So hear me now. God is not the author of evil. God does not cause cancer or abuse children or murder or steal or rape. God does not terrorize. God does not prompt racism. Neither does God cause floods or hurricanes or tornadoes. Period. And these things do not flow into our lives because God is trying to teach us something or to punish us. God, thank you. Amen. God is not mad at you. God loves you always. God will never give up on you, never terrorize you or torture you. God will not abandon you. Yes, God can redeem all things. And God uses all things to help us heal and to learn what a Christian response should be. But God is not the author of evil or any of the hell that sometimes we go through. Thankfully, John Wesley and other classical theologians like him, going all the way back to the first century and even before that, understood that evil is the absence of God. Evil is the antithesis of God. And this makes sense to me. Because if any human being ever did one of the things I mentioned, let alone all of them, not only would you be trying to put them in jail, but more likely you'd be calling for an execution. I'm going to stop there when it comes to diving any deeper into philosophical debates around these issues that are commonly referred to as the problem of evil. Suffice to say, if you haven't already figured it out, I agree with John Wesley. God does not create evil. And I also believe that evil is a force that seeks to destroy all the good that God has created. As such, evil in all of its forms, whether that's moral, ethical, natural, and so on, is not what Paul's referring to when he's telling us to give thanks. And that's not what God's will for us is in the giving of thanks. God's will in all things is directed specifically to our response, and it is a response that is designed to point us towards the eternal rather than the temporal. And this is exactly what Paul was speaking of when he instructed the early church who was going through severe persecution at the time. In response to that circumstance, he was telling them to gather together, give thanks in the midst of otherwise fear-filled circumstances, because it is from a place of gratitude that you are able to breathe in God's grace and joy and strength so that you can discern the Spirit's guidance and wisdom, and you can recognize and cling to all that is good and let go of and release all that is evil so that you can be at peace with God, within yourself, with one another, and even with your enemies, so that you can resist that temptation that so naturally rises up in all of us this morning. Resist the temptation to repay evil with evil. These same instructions are still true for us today. today, which is why we gather in community when we are feeling least capable of expressing thanks or praise or praying. We gather together to build upon one another's strength and to breathe in God's grace and to give thanks for a God who is greater than any evil, to a God who has taken on all that hell can dish out at him, and he has risen victoriously from the grave. He is a God who declares with his death and resurrection that love has won, that death has been defeated, and nothing can separate us from that. Not abuse, not disease, not racism, not terrorism, not political agendas. Nothing can separate us from the source that sustains us. It is God in whom we live and move and breathe and find our very being. Yes, evil is real, and there are depraved people among us. But evil is on its way out. Its days are numbered. And as for the people, God loves them, each and every one of us, even those among us who are most lost in sin and lost to darkness. Gratitude in difficult circumstances is not about conjuring up a Pollyanna pie-in-the-sky dream, nor is it about burying our head in the sand. God doesn't want us to give thanks in the midst of tragedy simply because he's looking to fill the world with what Aaron called last week the happy, clappy Christians. That is not what he's looking to do. It is God's will for us to give thanks because gratitude grounds us in our response to life, to the good, the bad, and the ugly. It grounds us to the greater truth, to the ultimate truth. God instructs us to give thanks because when we do, we tap into this truth and we are able to adopt a posture of gratitude that allows us to declare within ourselves and to the watching world around us that the worst thing that happens to us will never be the last thing that happens to us. And that's a reason to give thanks. And it's one of the reasons love being Methodist. Methodism offers us a gift, a way of life, a way of spiritual discipline. And this spiritual discipline enables us to breathe God's grace continuously so that we are reminded of greater truth. And this happens every time we take the time to read scripture and study, to pray and to worship, to receive communion, to fast, to give, to any of the things that draw you closer to God and enable you to experience His grace are sustaining you. And I know that many of you grew up as Methodists, not all of you, and some of you aren't Methodists yet, but many of you did grow up with that privilege. And as some of you know, I grew up in a Jewish home. I became a follower of Christ, and then I chose to be a Methodist. Lots of people ask me, how is it that a good Jewish girl ended up as a Methodist? Well, I'll tell you, because 15 years ago, I entered into Trinity United Methodist Church in Palm Beach Gardens, a little further south of us, and I witnessed something I had never seen before. I heard a message about God's grace and love that was entirely different than anything I had ever heard before. It was a message that welcomed me as I was, gave me tools to grow in my faith, and then allowed me to begin to dream of a life that I would have never dreamed of for myself. I surrounded myself with people that I saw who loved God and who genuinely seemed to not just tolerate, but really love the people who were different from them. They were people who served in their community and in their world, and they were making a real and tangible difference. And when I was finally ready to serve and take that step and that leap, and I raised my hand and said, is there a place for me? They welcomed me and said, yes, let's use your gift. Let's help you grow. changed my life. I knew from that point on that when I grew up in Christ, I want to be a Methodist. And I see that same beautiful spirit in so many of you as I visit with you in the hospital, from my office, as I work with you, as I serve with you, as we worship together. You are filled with Christ. And in the midst of great suffering and pain, you are able to exhale joy and hope and gratitude and peace because you have tethered your lives to God and you've remained connected to your source, which is Christ. We, as Methodists, have something the world desperately needs right now. It is something worth fighting for in our schedules, and it is worth living for with every breath that we dare to breathe. Today, we're specifically focusing on the means of grace of gratitude. And so how is it that we're supposed to cultivate this in our lives? Well, it probably won't surprise you that I turned to John Wesley for some inspiration here as to what to do. It turns out that John Wesley, for over 60 years, lived his life every week following a particular prayer schedule. And for the first 6 days of the week, he specifically prayed in relationship to the Great Commandment, to love God and to love others. But on the last day, on Saturday, Wesley paused to express gratitude. And for 60 years, he asked himself the same three questions. Have I allotted time for thanking God for the blessings of the past week? Have I, in order to be more sensible to them, seriously and deliberately considered the several circumstances that attuned them? And have I considered each of them as an obligation to greater love and consequently to stricter holiness? You know, I hear about this and I hear about what he did and I read about what he did, and I have to echo Steve Harper's assessment once again when he wrote the words that Wesley and Paul demonstrate a faith that is sometimes inaccessible to me. His consistency alone challenges me, but his sincerity of purpose is undeniable. These are questions that we could all stand to ask ourselves on a weekly basis, but during turbulent times, they are questions we should be asking ourselves each and every day, because they will help us develop a habit of gratitude that will shape our response to life every day, ups and downs. We all know people in our lives who practice this well, who seem to have embraced this habit fully. They're a joy to be around. And when they enter a room, the room lights up. They've embraced thankfulness to the point that their very presence is a gift to all those people around them. And they seem to effortlessly breathe in God's grace, and when they exhale, we see the fruits of the Spirit. We hear of things of love and joy, peace, kindness, mercy, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I admit I am not that sanctified yet, but I am a Methodist, and so I'm a work in progress, and there is still hope for me yet. The rhetoric that we hear and read in the news or on social media right now is increasingly polarized to the point that it seems that our sanity and our humanity are being worn thin. There is a cure. Christ. Christ is always the cure for whatever ails us in this world. And gratitude becomes the secure mask that we can use to breathe Christ in during turbulent times. It enables us to breathe in the love and the peace and the joy that we need so we can exhale the fruits of the Spirit in all that we say and do. It enables us to become the change that we so desperately want to see in the world. What's more, embracing a posture of gratitude invite God into the mess so that God can make something beautiful out of the wreckage. And it does more than even those things. It opens our eyes to see that there is much that is still going right in the world. There is much to celebrate. The media would not have us believe that, but there is. God is still with us, and life is still worth living, and it is beautiful, even if it is broken. And so, we who know how to secure our mask must do so with everything that we've got right now, because the world needs us to be the very best Christians that we can be. We can be a vital voice and a model of character that the world desperately needs to witness right now. When we are willing to secure our mask, we can begin to help others secure their mask, and we become beacons of truth and light, of healing and of hope. The world really is more beautiful than it is broken. And there is more that we share in common than what divides us. As we practice thankfulness, we are able to see this beauty and the potential for our unity in the midst of chaos with greater and greater clarity. This week, I invite you to join me in cultivating the art of gratitude with greater intentionality by asking Wesley's three questions. However, I struggle with the Old English, so here's my version of Wesley's three questions. What blessings have I experienced today? What details did God have to weave together to make it so? As a result, how might I respond with greater love and fullness? If you are feeling anxious, like many of us, because of the state of our world, may we remember to secure our life firmly to Christ through a life of spiritual discipline and to breathe. To breathe in God's grace with a grateful heart at whatever pace that you can muster, so that when you do exhale, what you exhale is love, joy, peace, mercy, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. A Methodist, give thanks. Always, because it is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. May this always and increasingly be so for each and every one of us.
Indeed, thanks be to God for the word that has been proclaimed for us here this morning and guides us to this table, to this means of grace that can flow into us so that these attitudes of joy and gratitude can flow out. And you remember on the night in which Jesus sat with his disciples and he took bread and he did what? He gave thanks to his Father in heaven and broke the bread, offered it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat, all of you, this is my body, give it to you." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, and he did what? He gave thanks to his Father in heaven, and then he offered it to his friends, and said, "Take, drink, all of you, this is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." If you're going to be helping serve communion this morning, I invite you to please come forward now and prepare the station as I pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread, the cup. Make it be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until we feast together at your heavenly banquet table. Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In the United Methodist Church, communion is an open table. You don't have to be a member of Trinity or any church for that matter. You simply come as the Spirit beckons you to come, but all is ready. Thank you.
worship with you all this morning. Will you stand and take someone's hand around you and receive this blessing? May the God who has created you